This podcast is brought to you by Cross Catholic Outreach. Last year, Cross Catholic Outreach provided over 30 million meals to families in need around the world. Join us in our global effort to reduce material and spiritual poverty. Learn more at crosscatholic.org/bless.
Finding someone on an online Catholic dating site shouldn't be like shopping for a blender. So why do most dating sites leave you feeling like you're shopping for a spouse? At Catholic Singles, we connect members through our unique user polls and activities, which help you discover other members and their personalities and interests. Because you're a person, not a profile picture. So stop shopping and start discerning. Trust your love story to the original Catholic dating site and use the promo code BREADBOX at checkout for 20% off at catholicsingles.com.
Welcome to the Bear Wozniak Adventure. Kickstart that engine and roll thunder with the pack. Explore the grittiness of manly spirituality. Gain traction in the virtues. Soup up your spiritual engine by turning adversity into adventure. Now here's Bear Wozniak. Let's ride.
Aloha, welcome to the Bear Wozniak Adventure. Today we have Father Sinclair Oob and Andy Saunier. They're two of the men that are putting together the Christ in You Men's Conference, September 26th in Orange, Texas, that I'm going to get to be speaking at. And afterwards, we get to ride, do the Distinguished Gentleman Motorcycle Ride. We'll talk about what that means. But I wanted to start out just by saying that there is really a crisis of manliness in the world today. We have this spectrum of chauvinistic, egotistic men to almost genderless males, but we're not seeing what I define as a real man. Are men that live by the virtues, the seven virtues of justice, self-mastery, fortitude, prudence, faith, hope, and love. But there's a grittiness that seems to be lacking in men today. It's almost like men have to apologize for being manly. I used to talk about masculine spirituality, and I don't do that anymore. I talk about manliness, the politically incorrect statement of manliness. You know, when God created Adam and Eve, he created Adam out of the earth. You know, he formed Eve out of his ribs. She was a higher, more fully distilled, I guess, quality to her than men do. But men are supposed to be earthy. We're supposed to be gritty. We're supposed to be tough. We're supposed to be wise. We're supposed to lay down our lives. You know, when the Catholic Church talks about love, it doesn't use... I remember when they made the King Jimmy Bible, they changed the Catholic word for caritas, for love of charity, to the word love. It's hard to translate the word agape into English. We really don't have a good word for that. But the Catholic Church uses the word caritas, charity. And I always go, man, why do they say charity? I mean, it's not like we're going to go give something to Salvation Army or something. But the Protestant translation is just the word love, which, you know, the Bible doesn't say God so loved the world that he felt all warm and gushy inside. It said that he gave his son. Caritas is a love that gives. True love, as Aquinas says, is willing the true good for the other. And our beautiful Saint Pope John Paul II talked about how love is self-donation. And that's what it is, willing the true good for the other through self-donation. Simply having an opinion that wills the true good for someone is nothing. Feeling all warm and gushy inside is nothing. Giving yourself in love is what love really is. And so that's why I really love the Catholic Church's version of that. And that is why we're calling men to true manliness, which is the act of sacrificial love for those that God has given you kuleana for, a stewardship for in your life. And we have two men like that. I met Father Sinclair for the first time in Houston at a men's event that we had. You saw it in Long Ride Home. I think it was episode 2 or episode 3. And I was just so fired up to see him and so many other Catholic bikers. And then I bumped into Andy, I guess, at the CMLA event, the Catholic Men's Leadership Alliance event in Dallas. So somehow I talked him into letting me come out and speak at the Christ in You Men's Conference on September 26th. So welcome, distinguished gentlemen, to the Bear Wozniak Adventure.
Thanks for having us. It's great to be here.
So, Father, can you give us a little I want to ask both of you a little bit about just your personal testimony. How is it your love for Jesus and your calling to the priesthood?
Well, it is certainly something that's grown over time. But I remember back in fourth grade, I made the mistake of telling my fourth grade sister teacher at St. James School in Port Arthur that I wanted to be a priest, which of course she told my parents, which was the last thing that I wanted them to do at that point. But I sort of set out in that direction. But I will say that there's a big difference between being trained to be a priest and learning to be a priest, and in fact, actually incorporating yourself into persona Christi, acting and being in persona Christi. And that really is more of a spiritual journey that I've really grown to appreciate more as I've been in the priesthood for this time, for these years.
What do you mean by persona Christi for those who may not know?
Well, acting in the person of Christ. And so it's very clear that when the priest is at the altar and he takes the bread and the wine and he offers them up at that time, that he is acting in the person of Jesus Christ. Protestants will often challenge us and say, you know, why do you go to a priest to go to confession? Because only God can forgive your sins, sort of quoting from the scriptures at that point. And my response is, you're absolutely correct. But because I have been ordained and received the sacrament of holy orders in the second order, first and second order, which is diaconate and the priesthood, with the ordination of the priesthood, my role is to act in the person of Jesus Christ. And so I do that at the altar. I do that in the sacrament of reconciliation. I do that at the anointing of the sick. Whenever I truly act as Jesus acted when people were brought to him who were sick. And so beginning to incorporate, making that distinction between learning how to do stuff and then incorporating that into a more authentic way of when I am acting in those times, that I am actually acting in the person of Jesus Christ, which is profoundly humbling. And it's a scary thing to move into. It's much easier to just do the stuff and not have to deal with the complication of actually acting in the person of Jesus Christ, because it can be absolutely overwhelming. That's a real challenge that is there. And so it's very easy just to stay. But what happens is, after you've done the lectionary cycle for Sunday, and now I've done that 11 times going on 12 times.
What you mean by the cycle, the three-year cycle?
Well, after the Second Vatican Council, the Council Fathers really thought seriously about the importance of the Word of God and really immersing the Catholic community in the Word of God. And so if a Catholic goes to Mass every Sunday and listens to the scriptures, that they will get almost all the four Gospels, most of the prophets, and a big chunk of the Old Testament, almost all of St. Paul and the pastoral epistles also, and they will hear those words and the Psalms and receive that within themselves, so that over 3 years, they will have heard the majority of the Bible as they come to Mass there. And so after doing that now 12 times, to break the thing of just being ordinary or the habit and to actually begin to incorporate that and interiorize it becomes important. And that's that movement into not just doing what priest does, but living in the sanctuary of what the priest does, which is become the person of Christ when he does these sacramental things.
So beautiful. You know, I got to say, during this Eucharistic famine, we finally, those who are listening to this, those who are Patreon subscribers, by the way, they get this show immediately on video, but the radio version of this will go out months later. So I'm referencing that Eucharistic famine that we've been going through. We just got to go to Mass this last weekend, for the first time in a couple of months. And I'll tell you, sometimes one of the priests there, I just don't care for his homilies and things like that, right? And going to Mass, though, on this particular, the first time going back, as I walked into the church, it was like the word in persona Christi just blew a hole through my heart, you know? And because having been through the Eucharistic famine and so desiring to be with a priest, and so through the whole time, it was like a whole new perspective, Father, came to me. In persona Christi, this priest is acting presenting, I don't know exactly how you say it, in the person of Jesus Christ, And I just focused on the sacredness of being in his presence, well, as well as in the Eucharistic presence. So it's so interesting you brought that up. It was like just a whole change took place in me. And I think a large part is because I had been taking so much for granted, being able to go to Mass every day. We got to take a quick break here in a moment. But we got Andy Sonier with us. Andy's one of the leaders, too, of the men's conference there. When is the men's conference, Andy?
When is it? September 26th of 2020.
And where is it?
Orange, Texas. St. Francis.
I've heard. What is it? What's that?
St. Francis of Assisi Church. Orange,
so
Texas.
If they want to find out more, where do they go?
ChristinU.info.
ChristinU.info. And so if you guys want to see these radio shows instead of just listen to them. And by the way, if you could see how handsome these guys are, you'd want to watch this on YouTube. You can go to deepadventure.com and subscribe to our email, and we send the YouTube version of the show to you the day before it airs on EWTN. But if you go to our website, you can also click on the Patreon page and go there, and then you can subscribe there, and you get them released to you months early. So we encourage you to do that. You can see how distinguished these gentlemen are. We're going to talk about that, right, Father? We're going to talk about the distinguished medal, the distinguished gentleman motorcycle ride that we're going to do in Texas when we get there in September. This is the Bear Wozniak Adventure. We'll be right back. Mahalo for your kokua in supporting us. Deep Adventure Ministries is grateful to you, our listeners, for supporting the Bear Wozniak Adventure radio show at deepadventure.com. We would not be able to bring you our radio show with its uniquely powerful and gritty outreach without your help. You can become part of our pack. You can support our ministry by going to patreon.com/Bear Wozniak or by just going to deepadventure.com and clicking on the Patreon link and become a part of our outreach. That's deepadventure.com. Once again, mahalo for your kokua.
This is a warning. The Bear Wozniak Adventure is dangerous. The radical change Bear challenges you to is not for wimps. Change this station now to a soft rock station before it's too late. You've been warned. Now, here is Bear Wozniak.
Aloha and welcome back to the Bear Wozniak Adventure. You know, Andy Sonia is here with me with Father Sinclair Oob, both down there in Orange, Texas. I've heard of Texas. I don't know. I thought Orange, Texas was just a rumor, but I guess it's a real place. But Andy's a member of Bear's Man Cave. And I refer to that as kind of, there's the Cave of Adullam, you know, that King David had to flee to when King Saul was chasing him all over the place. And it's said that every kind of rabble-rouser or misfit or people that owed money joined him there at the cave. And God formed those men into mighty warriors that became the warriors, the men of mighty valor of King David. And so we are challenging men through the Christ in You event on September 26th in Orange, Texas, the men's conference there. And through the Man Cave, and there's so many men's conferences. You can go to cmla.com, I think it's the website, Catholic Men's Leadership Alliance. There's probably 50 men's conferences going on in Canada and in the United States that you can find there in your local area. But we need to gather all the knuckle draggers and all the misfits together. Men tend to be ashamed of the challenges that they have in their lives. We all think we need to be John Wayne or Clint Eastwood or Rambo and just tough it out by ourselves. But that's not the way men are formed. Men are formed in the company of other men. Iron sharpens iron. And so like in Bear's Man Cave, which you can join by going to deepadventure.com, men are challenging each other, equipping each other, encouraging, mobilizing, but we're all bozos on the same bus. Every failing that you've had, one of our men there has had it worse. And so we help each other and encourage each other. I know, like, when I see a new surfer go out in the water, they're kind of embarrassed. They know what we call them, a kook, right? They know, oh, they can't even surf. But for every surfer that sees a kook out in the water, it's not like that for us. We're like, oh, I'm so excited. This guy's experiencing surfing for the first time. So wherever you are in this whole spectrum of your walk and your journey with the Lord, you're welcome to come to these men's conferences and come to a Bear's Man Cave. We have Father Sinclair Oob with us, who's a biker, and Andy Sonier, who's, well, Andy, you know, the thing, when I think of you, I have to think of only one thing, and you know what it is. Whataburgers.
You know, I was gonna go to Whataburger before this and just have a cup and take a sip. Just to charge you a little bit, but I said, nah, it's a little too over the top.
You're evil. We met together somewhere near Orange, Texas, right, and had a Whataburger together.
Yeah, we did.
I just remember going to Texas. We moved there from Santa Cruz, California, to Waco, Texas, when I was a junior, end of my junior year in high school. My dad said, go get some burgers. So I just, well, there's a place, Whataburger. And I said, give me big of everything. And I was like, oh, man, everything's big in Texas. And the best burgers in the – you know, I'll tell you, Andy, I had a chance to go to a Baylor football game last year. And right. This is – there's a Whataburger and an In-N-Out burger within 100 yards of each other. And I went to both on the same day. And I wasn't sure, is that a mortal sin or a miracle? I think it's a
sliver of heaven.
Well, we're glad you joined us. Andy, can you share this a little bit about just your testimony and then what you see as the crisis of manliness in the world today?
Yeah, I grew up average kid, son of a farmer. First earliest memories of my life was attending daily mass with my dad before daylight.
Really?
It was just, we had daily mass for the farmers then because Farmer's Day started at the crack of dawn, you know, so mass always came first.
What time was mass?
Oh, like 5 a.m.
Oh, praise God. Wow.
Yeah. If that late, you know, depending on, you know, time of year.
So you were formed early by your father, by your relationship with your
absolutely.
Father. Wow.
So I was gifted with that, you know, with a great dad that really instilled Catholic values in me. So,
wow. He didn't just talk about it. He did it.
Yes. I was afforded the opportunity of 2 years of Catholic school when I was in middle school. So there was a lot of formation that took place early in my life. Went to a seminary retreat that really spoke to me. I really thought I had a vocation at that time, and I think the Lord was definitely calling me in that direction. But when I went back to public school, the ways of the world just kind of took over, and I drifted away from that, unfortunately. But I think as time passes in each of us, we're all called to a vocation at every step of our life. You know, vocation is not always to holy orders. You know, it's to fatherhood, marriage, things of, you know, a lay ministry, things of that nature. You know, God's always calling us to himself to be the men that we're supposed to be, that we're born created to be.
What kind of farming did you do, Andy?
Yeah, Dad farmed rice, and then eventually with soybeans. You know, both very essential crops.
Did he ever make any rum out of that rice? Or
yeah,
no. But I agree with you about this vocation thing. I got to tell you, when I was 19, I had a powerful conversion experience in the Catholic Charismatic Renewal, and I just loved Jesus so much. I mean, I was obnoxious, and so people began to say to me, "You need to become a priest." And I just remember when I was a senior in high school in a real boring social studies class, I felt this infusion of the Lord. This is before I had the charismatic experience, like a light bulb turned on that I could someday father a child and I could someday bring an eternal being into existence. And everything in my life changed from that moment. Every decision I made about studying later, working 3 jobs to go to college, all of that was because one day I wanted to be a dad. I mean, I felt that so deeply in me as a calling, I guess. But then I went through that process of everyone saying, you need to become a priest, you know. And I had this beautiful, I would say, wonderful, beautiful time with the Lord for several months. And then it got to the point where people kept saying, you need to become a priest. And it was really a test for me to say, you call me Lord, but am I your Lord? And so I fasted for a week, and I went up to this Benedictine monastery up in New Mexico. And while there on retreat, I finally just said, Lord, as hard as it is to serve you, it's harder not to. I surrender all my life, whatever you want in my life, we will do. And then I remember the next morning meeting the woman that was the mother of my children. But it's a vocation.
Absolutely.
It's a vocation. The laity has its vocation and its calling. And we need to fully engage in that vocation and fully, you know, live our lives like that. What do you think the situation is now, Father, about the the crisis of, I call it the crisis of manliness. What do you think the situation, what thoughts do you have in regards to that, Father Sinclair Oob?
The biggest thing is, I think that we just face a crisis of not having a rite of passage for young men. In the 90s, I read Robert Bly's book, Iron John.
Great book.
And that is just so important. And he describes how in Aboriginal and tribal areas where there's a clear rite of passage, where the boy is literally kidnapped by the tribal men out from the hut from the mother, and then goes through a process of trials. And then when he returns back, he comes back, but he never returns back to his mother's hut again, but rather now stays with the men. And we lack that rite of passage as a society. And we're seeing more and more, as we're seeing the number of children being born without fathers, the opportunity for mentoring to take place, to how one becomes a man is not taught in a physical education class or a sex class in high school, but it is by being apprenticed by good men. And we lack that process because, first off, we have too many men who do not stand and take responsibility for the children that they bring into this world.
Right.
And then as an outgrowth of that, we're asking women to do something they know nothing about, and that is train young men to be boys.
Well, and a lot of the women hate men, too, because they've been betrayed by men. So they're man-hating women that are raising sons, and the sons get raised in confusion.
And you don't want to dismiss the fact that being male is not seen as a value. When we start talking about the interchangeability of parents, that you don't speak of fathers and mothers, you just speak of parents.
Or the interchangeability of genders.
Yeah. And so
we need manliness.
That there's no difference between having two women or two men raising a child, because they're just parents. And yet what we know clearly is that there are significant things that men bring in the raising up of their children and how they bring that up. I've really, really been impressed by Jordan Peterson, which
he's got a lot to say,
but he really helps young men to figure out how to become young men.
He talks about responsibility.
One
of the big things. We're talking with Father. Go ahead, Father. We're going to take a break right now. We'll be right back. Okay. Father Sinclair Oob is with us, and Andy Sonia is with us. They're both lead the Christ in You event in Orange, Texas, September 26th. What's the website, Andy?
ChristinU.info.
It's a men's conference. It's open to all knuckle draggers, right? You don't have to be super holy to go.
Yeah. High school year. No.
High school year. So, like, confirmation age and upwards.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I get to be the speaker this year, so I'm really stoked about that. We'll be right back with more of the Bear Wozniak Adventure. Mahalo for your kokua in supporting us. Deep Adventure Ministries is grateful to you, our listeners, for supporting the Bear Wozniak Adventure Radio Show at deepadventure.com. We would not be able to bring you our radio show with its uniquely powerful and gritty outreach without your help. You can become part of our pack. You can support our ministry by going to patreon.com/Bear Wozniak, or by just going to deepadventure.com and clicking on the Patreon link and become a part of our outreach. That's deepadventure.com. Once again, mahalo for your kokua. Aloha and welcome back to the Bear Wozniak Adventure. I'm your adventure guide, Bear Wozniak. My co-guides today are Father Sinclair Oob and Andy Sonia. And Father was talking about how our young men lack two things. They lack having a real man in their lives, fathering man in their lives. And there isn't a rite of passage anymore. I know you mentioned Robert Bly. Some of his books were really good. Iron John, I think it was.
Yes.
I loved that book, too, when I was younger. You know, I think for me, my rite of passage was probably playing football, because I had other brothers with me and had coaches that I super respected. And I know that changed my life. It challenged me in a lot of ways, and it changed my life. But listen, men, I know you don't think you're able to do it, or maybe you think you do, but young men need to be mentored. Here in Hawaii, my wife talks about it. she says it's really obvious to her that there's a company of men here, and that the older men uncle the younger men. In fact, all the younger men, if they're 15 or 20 years younger than me, they call me Uncle Bear. Everybody here is an uncle or an auntie. And there is this kind of this separation where the men get together, and it's the younger men and the older men together, and you see them going out. It's usually probably surfing big waves is kind of a rite of passage for the men here, the young men here, or they go out and they get skilled in becoming a waterman, sailing or spear fishing or fishing or thing, just regular fishing with their uncles. But here the younger men are uncles. I remember when I was running the world title, a young man acted out in the lineup, and I uncled him. I called him in. I said, you are not allowed to surf in competition for a year. And a year to the day I called, and I rebuked him, I corrected him, but I loved him. And a year to the day later, I called him, and he came down to the beach, and I gave him a big old hug, and I said, welcome back now. You're welcome to surf. But he had acted out in a way that was not right to a woman. And so I uncled him by correcting him. I uncled him by exhorting him, and I uncled him by loving him and bringing him back. But men, go teach confirmation classes. Go teach confirmation classes. There's not a more critical time in a young man's life than that confirmation class age. Go there, and you don't have to know theology. You just have to know Jesus. And by the way, teaching confirmation, you're going to learn the catechism, and you're going to learn to go deeper with the Lord. And part of that, too, is just you need to be a part of a company of men. And that's why Father Sinclair Oob and Andy Saunier have the Christ in You conferences. The conference on September 26th that I get to come and be the main speaker, christinyou.info is the website. After men come to the event, do you get them involved in small groups, or what happens after they come to that event?
We've got some things for men to do here. In the past year, we started That Man Is You group.
Great fact, program.
When you and I were in Dallas for CMLA, I ran into Mark Hartfeld, who is the
kind of a rookie.
Yeah, kind of a rookie. I think he's praying about it a little bit.
Yeah.
And he got me in touch with the right people, and we started a group here this past year, and it's slowly growing. We've gone through our first year, but it creates an avenue for men to group, because guys, we can't get through all of the crisis in our lives on our own. You know, as you said before, iron sharpens iron. You know, we have to be there for each other. And it's not less manly to be able to share the things that are going on with your life to another brother, because together we can get through just about anything. You know, it's great fellowship time. And it's great education, religious education and fellowship.
So That Man Is You is such a great program. We brought it out here to Hawaii. One of the great things about it is that it's a turnkey program. They just say, you need this man to, you need like this, this is the team. You need to get like five or six men or more if you can to start. And this man does this every week. And this man does this week every week. And they have an online website that people can access, your own group's website. It's turnkey. It's like the way men like to do things, right? It's like it's systematized.
They set you up with everything that you need, the tools that you need. You just have to provide the men to make it happen.
You need three men to start, I think. Get two or three men, and then they will gather a few men, and then once the ball gets rolling.
Right. Yeah, That Man Is You has a program that's put out by Paradisus Day, and they're very thorough, and they provide a spring and a fall curriculum, and I think they've got 3 or 4 years worth of classes that are in their library.
And most of them, they like to have them like early in the morning, like on a Saturday morning, so you don't take away time from your family. And it starts out with a teaching, and then you talk story with each other. I think there's usually coffee, right?
Right. You start out breaking bread, and you have time to socialize and kind of chit chat a little bit about the things that have happened since last week when you saw each other. And then you sit through a video session, which is very informative. And then you have time, which the best part is the small group. You break into small groups, and you really get down to the meat and potatoes of what's going on in my life, what's going on in your life. You know, and just that sharing and camaraderie helps build us up, you know, because the world out there tries to tear us down. Together, we need to build each other up.
And you know what I like about it, too, is no politics are allowed to be talked about.
That's right.
You know, it's but they do talk about sports, as I recall. The first thing they do every time is they give you some sports statistics. So when your wife asks you, what did you talk about? You can give them some sports statistics and don't talk about the real stuff. Never mind. We just talked about sports. Oh, yeah. Did you know Lou Gehrig? You know, that's about it. But you go, but it really does give you traction in your spiritual journey, in the virtues, and in understanding Catholic teaching. Father, you're involved with a project right now. Father Sinclair Oob, we're talking with Father Sinclair Oob and Andy Saunier from Orange, Texas, where we're going to have the Christ in You Men's Conference September 26th. Go to christinyou.info to find out more and to sign up. But Father, you're involved in a really cool project with a former Navy captain or
Merchant Marine captain. I wanted to make a comment about how men engage back in the church again.
Yes.
Because it's very, very difficult. Because many of the things that the men used to do in the church, because of insurance liability, they can't do anymore. Back in the 50s at St. Anne's Church in Beaumont, there was a pastor there that would take the altar boys out to the levee to go water moccasin shooting with 22s. Now, Catholic Mutual would be all over us if we even just suggested the idea of taking
guns and poisonous snakes. Sounds delicious.
And so you
tastes like chicken.
What did men used to do in the church? Well, the men used to paint the church. They literally, my grandfather helped build St. Elizabeth Church in Portages because he was a carpenter, and my dad helped him with that because it was a family of carpenters. And so there were all these things that men could engage with. So you had the men sort of taking care of the outside of the church, and the women were inside the church and doing religious education or, you know, all these other types of things. Talking to men who are duck hunters, they'll sit up in a duck blind, freezing their butts off in the silence in the presence of God. And you ask them, well, where do you pray? They pray in the duck blind, or they pray in the deer blind. And so the church turns around and says, well, what we're offering you to is to come to Mass, spend an hour with kids and your wife singing glory and praise songs. And has nothing to do with his own personal spirituality, because we're right. So sort of afraid right. of that men's right. spirituality. So I think we as a church, when we're planning stuff, we're just saying, okay, guys, we want you here, but the only thing that we've got for you is for women and children. And the yes. guys say, thanks, but no thanks. And they go back to their duck blinds. And we really have to think consciously of how we can better engage men in it. And This Man Is You is certainly a
that good man is you.
That area. Acts has been a powerful, powerful thing too.
Acts is another great avenue.
How do you spell that?
ACTS. It's
they can find it, acts.com probably, or something.
Yeah, acts.org, actsmissions.org.
Acts what?
Acts, A-C-T-S, missions.org.
Well, you're doing something, you know, but that's just it. That's why when you have the That Man Is You program, men develop relationships, and then next thing you know, they're going out wild boar hunting or something, or fishing or something. But you need to start having manliness is not it may not be politically correct, but you know, you see so often, I mean, I talk about the genderless male. That's what they want us to be. Mm-hmm. Just and come in, and Mass is a beautiful thing, but it's a very passive thing in terms of the man. There's the people in the church pew, and men want to get up and work and do something. So I think that it begins with the men's conferences, and then from there the men start joining these small groups, and then we're going to do that manly thing called the Distinguished Gentleman's Ride. You're going to make me wear a tie or a bow tie or a tuxedo or what, Father?
You're going to have to dress up dapper and participate in that. That's a program that I think began in Great Britain, and it's literally around the world. And on this particular day, it is a international fundraiser for prostate cancer research. And they've also hooked up together with Movember about men's mental health, especially concerned about the high level of suicide.
Especially concerned about Andy's mental health. So
that's right.
All that money is just going to go right to Andy for.
Yeah, send the funds to me.
But I got to say, Father, I just battled prostate cancer. I went through radiation treatment. And in fact, this is the first time I ever have talked about it. I'm just on the other side of that, 3 months outside of it. And the cancer has diminished dramatically. But I think it's really cool that the men are getting together to do something about this, you know, battling that.
They concentrate on men dressing up in a distinguished, dapper manner.
James Bond.
And riding classic motorcycles like, you know, 1967 Triumph Bonnevilles or other classic bikes. And cafe racers and bobbers. So they're saying, okay, the cruisers and the baggers and the sport bikes, you know, that's not the emphasis on it. And so it you know, if you watch the videos on YouTube for Distinguished Gentlemen, you're seeing like a motorcycle museum taking part in this.
I got to rent a tuxedo, right?
It'd be great if you had one. I wear my kilt and my Prince Charlie jacket.
Oh, that's so cool, man. I don't think I have a version of that to wear, but I've been, my wife and I during this crisis, you know, we've watched every single James Bond movie. So I probably have to be more, I don't think I can do the Daniel Craig version of it, but I don't fit into tuxedos, dude. Ukrainians aren't made for tuxedos. What's that, Andy?
The name is Wozniak.
Shake and not stirred. So, we actually bought martini glasses for the first time in our lives, too. So, but that's going to be really cool. But we've only got a minute or two. Can you tell me a moment just about this captain that you're working on, his beatification?
Yeah. So
his virtue.
Yeah, this guy, he was born in Philadelphia. He attended the Pennsylvania Maritime Academy, and he began sailing in the 1930s as a quartermaster.
What's his name?
Leonard LaRue.
Captain Leonard LaRue.
And he came up the Hawes Pipe, became second mate. He participated in what was known as PQ-13, which sailed from Iceland to Murmansk, Russia in 1942. There were 19 ships, 6 of them were sunk in the process. So it was a very, very dangerous time. He survived World War II. And then beginning of the Korean War, he became captain of the Meredith Victory, which he sailed from Virginia through the Panama Canal to Oakland, and there loaded military cargo for Korea. Before he left Oakland, he made 3 stops. One was at the office for Moore McCormick Lines, which was the shipping company. He stopped at the Marine Military Transport Office, and he stopped at Old St. Mary's Church in San Francisco to say a prayer.
Well, we got 10 more seconds.
Okay. So the big thing is that he rescued 14,000 North Koreans over Christmas in 1950. 2 years later, left the sea and joined the Abbey, St. Paul Abbey in Newton, New Jersey, where he lived the rest of his life.
A Benedictine
life.
Abbey. Yep. Yeah, and I'm a Benedictine oblate, you know, so we got to go, Father. There's always leftovers at a feast, right?
That's right.
We'll have to talk story more on the other side of the men's conference, the ChristianU.info. Is the website, right? Andy Saunier and Dr. Father Uber are going to be the speaker there for the full day event. I think there might be cigars the night before or after, and the next day we're going to have Distinguished Gentleman Motorcycle Ride. It's going to be cool. This is the Bear Wozniak Adventure. We'll be right back. That's right. Deep Adventure Ministries is grateful to Notre Dame Federal Credit Union for underwriting the Bear Wozniak Adventure on EWTN. Notre Dame Federal Credit Union provides car loans, mortgages, SBA loans, and depository accounts nationwide, as well as 24-hour support. Go to deepadventure.com to find their link, or go to notredamefcu.com. Mahalo to Notre Dame Federal Credit Union for making the Bear Wozniak Adventure possible. Aloha, this is Bear Wozniak. Today we have a guest coming to you from Texas. Andy Saunier, he's one of the members of the Christ in You Men's Conference. He and Father Sinclair Aubrey are the main instigators behind it because they live in Gator Country. We call him Gator for short because he's always instigating. But we haven't had a chance to really dig deep into Andy Saunier's terrible past, his wicked past. Actually, we want to talk about that because everybody has a personal journey, a personal adventure that they're on. And you were raised as a Catholic on the farm. Your father was very devoted. And then you went away to college, and weren't you an athletic trainer? And didn't you develop that as your career at one point, right, as an athletic trainer?
That's right. In high school, I served a little bit as a student trainer and messed around with that a little bit. But I had so much time that I had to spend on the farm with my dad, and I loved every minute of that, don't get me wrong. but I didn't have the opportunities to really develop any athletic skills in high school. And I was a little bit behind athletically, but I wanted to stay involved in sports and athletics the best way that I could. And I developed a love and a skill for athletic training. And I went to McNeese State in Lake Charles, which is not far from my hometown of Vinton, and met Jim Murphy there. He was the athletic trainer and gave me a great opportunity to serve as student trainer there.
Well, what do you see in the comparison between training athletically and training to be a man of God? What do you see? Do you see comparisons there?
There are some comparisons. I know at the age of the college athlete, you're going through a lot of discernment at that point in your life, and you're really finding your way athletically. And as you mature, it turns into more of a discernment of spirituality. And one can lend itself to the other, because when you train athletically, you become disciplined. And when you become more spiritual in life, you have to have that same discipline to draw from for your prayer life and things of that nature.
You know, discipline is everything. That's kind of why Jesus called his apostles, before they were apostles, disciples, right? It's got the word discipline right in there. It's a critical, critical word. And you can't, you cannot really grow in virtue unless you first establish the virtue of discipline. I will get up at a certain time every day. I will eat this. I won't eat that. I will devote 40 minutes in prayer. I will go to my job. I will work. I'll give my studies or my work as unto the Lord at noon instead of going out and eating a Whataburger like you and I love. I'm going to go for a walk and I'm going to spend time with the Lord. And then I'm going to apply myself to my work. So discipline really involves a pattern. It's like Jeff Caven says, you could tell someone's priorities by the rhythm of their day. How do they spend their day? Are they spending their day, watching TV or nowadays computer games, or are you just hanging out with friends at a bar, or are you devoting yourself to in discipline in what work God is calling you to do? Because you said something really interesting. You said you felt a need to become an athletic trainer and to be involved with sports. That's actually a wooing and a drawing of the Holy Spirit into the path he has for your life. But you can either respond to that with discipline, or you can just respond to that or not respond to it at all. So you were talking about how the discipline in sports is a virtue that develops and works in every area of your life. What other kind of allegories or lessons can you learn as an athlete?
Competition mm-hmm. is very strengthening. As we say in our men's groups, iron sharpens iron, and that's a form of competition in itself.
Wow, I never thought of it that way.
It can be.
When you've got really sword against sword, that's not playtime.
No, it's not.
It's a testing of your mettle. Yeah.
Yeah. I tend to think of the last thing that Jesus told the disciples in Matthew's gospel is, he called us all to change the world, to have courage and to go out and change the world. He said to go forth and make disciples of all nations.
Discipline again.
Discipline. That's correct. And, how many men have you brought to Jesus? That's a challenge for us, because you're going to get asked that one day. How many men did you bring to Jesus?
It's the only thing you can take to heaven with you, right? Is other people.
That's right. And Jesus may ask other men, who brought you to me? Hopefully it ties back to you. And then on the other side of the coin, we have to think of how many men did we bring to Satan? As an example. So everything involves how we create an example towards others.
So you're saying lead by example.
Yes.
Number one, what kind of example are you?
You want to be a man of virtue. You're all about the virtues. Live a virtuous life. Show men how to live as a Christian man.
The word virtue has as its root word vir, which means man in Latin, right? I mean, you can't really be a man unless you're a man of virtue.
That's right.
And so there's that scripture verse. When I tested for my first degree black belt, it was from David. Lead me to the rock too high to climb, and I will climb it. And then he said another verse too that's so cool. He trains my hands for war so that my arms can bend a bow of bronze. You can't bend a bow of bronze unless you've been pulling a lighter bow first, right? There's that training process, and we can walk away from the training of the Lord, or we can enter every day diligently into saying, yes, Lord, how can I serve? How will I train today? And I think with the basic ways a man trains is by fulfilling his kuleana. What has God called you to do today? Do it. Do it really well. Do it more than what God expects.
That should be the first thing we ask God in the morning when we wake up. God, I give you myself. Tell me what you want of me today. And then we have to discern that. We have to have contemplative prayer where we actually listen.
Mm.
We have to listen, and God's going to tell us what he wants from us. And then we have to be men of action. We have to go out and do those things.
Our very nature is to be action. Right. The thing about it is we could start with the small things, right? God says, look to the ant, how productive he is and how they work as a team. And we're humans. We should be able to do even greater things than that. But we have to start out with the small things. And I think the smallest discipline is get up, have your prayer time, do your workout if you have to, go, or if that's the right time to do it, do your job really well. And also there's the discipline of what not to do. I'm going to eat this and not that. I'm going to not spend my money on this. I'm going to save it for the future. I'm going to invest it in the future. And all those things just sound so almost mundane. But they're the key to freedom is discipline.
Yeah.
The more you discipline yourself, the more options you have in your life.
Yeah.
Not
and
less,
hey,
more.
We're not perfect men either. We have to rely on each other.
Right.
To strengthen each other and to keep us on that path, because we're all sinners, every one of us, but we have to know how to get ourselves back on track, both going to confession and making sure we discern God's will. Now, those are two key things to keep ourselves as virtuous Christian Catholic men.
And God called men not to be isolated, but to be part of something. He called the 12, not as individuals, but to come together as the 12. And so that's why you have this men's conference, right? It's to gather the men together, help them. Tell us about that vision and about the event on September 26th in Orange, Texas.
This is our third one. We've had two very successful men's conferences the past 2 years. Father Sinclair approached me and a couple other guys that were sitting around planning a retreat. He says, hey, guys, what do you guys think about men's conferences? I'd love to have a men's conference at our parish. You guys interested in something like that? And none of us had really heard of a men's conference, didn't know what it was. So after he had left, we kind of milled it around, and we all agreed we had a lot on our plates as it was. But after a couple of weeks, it just kept tapping on my head, just putting that ping on my heart. You need to look into this men's conference business, So I caught Father Sinclair after Mass one evening and said, hey, I said, remember you talked about the men's conference? Let's do this. I'm all in. He said, come to my office right now.
I love that. You said, I'm all in.
I'm all in. Yeah. Well, when I do something, I want to be all in. I mean, that lukewarm, I'll spit you out of my mouth. That's we can't be lukewarm. So it's either all in or none at all.
And so this is the Christ in You conference, the third one on September 26th in Orange, Texas, and I get to be your speaker this year.
Yeah,
you're
going to come in. Yeah, well, I don't know about that. We'll see. I think we're going to have a great time.
Yeah,
we're going to smoke a few cigars and. We'll make a little money for charity.
Cigars. Yeah, and you're going to do the Distinguished Gentleman Ride the next day for immense prostate cancer.
Right.
But tell me, we got a roll, but tell me where can they find out more information about the conference?
Go to christinyou.info.
Oh, christinyou.info.
Info, yeah, not okay. org, dot info. And click on it, go to conferences, scroll down, find register today.
And join us. It's yes. going to be like from get there around 7 or so, and it's going to be over by about 3 or 4.
Yeah, we're going to wake each other up with a little coffee and donuts, have mass, and Bear's going to do his thing.
We're going to rock
it. And we're going to rock the house. And, you know, you guys can stick around for evening mass on Saturday if you choose.
Amen.
We're gonna have a great weekend.
Well, we've been talking with Andy Saunier and Father Sinclair Aubrey about the Christ in You Conference in Orange, Texas on September 26th. But we got to head out of here until next week. This is the Bear Wozniak Adventure. May the breath of the Holy Spirit aloha you.
Aloha.
And as they say down Texas way, Viva Cristo Rey.
Viva Cristo Rey.
You've been listening to the Bear Wozniak Adventure. Go to BearWozniak.com to get your free audio and other exciting content. Plus, you can pick up the Long Ride Home 10-episode DVD set, autographed copies of Bear's books, Long Ride Home shirts, tanks, coffee cups, and even motorcycle pins and patches. And find out how guys can sign up for Bear's Man Cave online Facebook group, all at BearWozniak.com.
Looking for a way to build daily prayer discipline? Seen the rise in mindfulness meditation, but not sure if it is possible to meditate in a way that's consistent with your Catholic faith? Just looking for a way to breathe new life into your existing prayer routine? No matter what you're looking for, Hollow is here to help. Hollow is a Catholic prayer and meditation app that helps users deepen their relationship with God through audio-guided contemplative prayer sessions. From meditations on the daily gospel, to the rosary, to daily examines, Hollow has something for everyone. Hollow is the number one Catholic app in the U.S. It is free to download and has permanently free content, but you can also check out all of the premium sessions for 30 days, risk-free, by signing up at www.hollow.app/breadbox.